Turn with me on your Bible or your device. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Good to see everybody this morning. Everybody surviving the smoky days that we're having out there. All right. Yeah, that time of year again, right? We've been in this series on Sunday mornings on the parables, and we're going to get right into that. I want to remind everybody that next week's a very big week here at Bethel, both Saturday and Sunday. We have a special guest by the name of Dave Reaver. Dave is a Vietnam vet that, in all human terms, should have died in Vietnam. Dave was on patrol one day. He was actually in a battle and had a grenade that he was about to throw. And before he got it out of his hand, a bullet hit the grenade right in his hand, right next to his head, and should have died. But God was with him, protected him. He has an amazing story. And so Dave is going to come next weekend. He's going to share at a men's breakfast on Saturday morning. All the information about that is in your bulletin and out in the foyer. So guys, come to that men's breakfast. Bring someone with you. It's free for veterans. And then Dave is going to speak that morning, but he's also going to come back Sunday and do both morning services next Sunday. It's one of those days you're not going to want to miss, and also you're going to want to bring someone with you. I will guarantee you, when you're sitting here next Sunday morning, you're going to be sitting there saying, man, I wish I would have invited somebody. I wish my friend was here. I wish my brother was here, whatever. It's going to be that kind of day. And so every Sunday is good to be here, but next Sunday is going to be such a powerful day. Don't miss it. Don't miss this great opportunity. Bring someone with you. Invite people. And then when we have all of our guests next week that are going to be here, make sure that you include people. Introduce yourself. Make people feel welcome, because they're going to be touched not only by Dave's message, they're going to be touched by what they experience when they come to Bethel Church. So let's just make it a great weekend. So Luke chapter 11, we've been in this series, if you're new this morning, we've been in this series on parables. Parables are, they're word pictures. They're stories that Jesus told, everyday life stories that Jesus told to help people understand spiritual principles and spiritual concepts. We use the phrase sometimes that a picture is worth a thousand words. This is kind of what parables are like. They're worth a thousand words because they're word pictures. And Jesus told parables about a lot of different things, a lot of different topics. And the one that we're going to look at this morning, the topic is Jesus is going to be teaching us about prayer. And we're going to look at the context for why Jesus tells this parable. He tells this parable actually in response to a request. And so we're going to start in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1 to kind of give us the picture of why Jesus tells this parable. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Okay, get the picture here. Jesus has just finished praying. And then when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So that's the context of the parable today, is this request, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, the early band of people that followed Jesus, started following Jesus, they followed Jesus for a lot of different reasons. Some of them followed Jesus because they believed that he was the Messiah. They saw some of the prophecies that were being fulfilled in Jesus' life, and they had come to believe that this was the Christ, that Jesus was the Savior that they were waiting for. Some people were following Jesus because they either saw firsthand or heard about the miracles that Jesus had been doing. Some people followed Jesus because his teaching was so amazing. And people would say things like, we've never heard anybody like this. We've never heard anybody teach like this. And then some people follow Jesus, I'm convinced, just because of who he was. They saw something different about Jesus, how he lived, his character. And one of the things that they noticed about Jesus is that his relationship with God was amazing. He had a connection with God that they longed for, that they were hungry for. Now, you might say to yourself, well, wait a minute, Tim, Jesus is God, and now you're talking about him having a relationship with God. Yes, Jesus is God, but remember, when Jesus came into the world, he laid his godness aside. He set aside his godness. John chapter 1, for example, says that the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh. So even though Jesus is God, when he was here on the earth, he related to God in the same way we do, mostly through scripture and through spending time with the Father in prayer. And so people could see this about Jesus. They saw in Jesus something they wanted. So they come to Jesus and they're just basically saying, come on, Jesus, what's your secret? What's the deal? We want to connect with God the way you connect with God. Jesus had a closeness to God that people longed for, that people were hungry for. You see, guys, inside of every one of us, there is a deep longing for the presence of God. There's a desire to be closer to God. I love the song that we sang just a few minutes ago. We go from glory to glory to glory. You know, that's not just a song. That's actually in the Bible. It's a promise in God's word that we go from glory to glory to glory. In other words, God is drawing us closer and closer and closer to himself. And that if you're not happy with where you're at right now, that's okay. Keep trusting God because God's going to keep changing you. Amen? Yeah, there's just desire in us. I wish I would connect to God better. I wish I was closer to God. I wish I could hear God's voice more clearly. That's a longing. And it's a longing that we have in us because we were created for that. We were hardwired to have a friendship with God. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, and they were created to have a friendship with God. In fact, there's this one verse in Genesis chapter 3 that talks about God walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. Walking in the garden, God. And it was, you get the idea that this was just like normal, that God would go on a walk with Adam and Eve. Wouldn't that be awesome to have God go on a walk with you? But do you know he actually does? He actually does. He actually goes with us wherever we're at. It's just that oftentimes we're not aware of his presence as much as we should be. And so the disciples are looking at Jesus and they're going, man, Jesus, you just connect with God. Teach us to pray. David wrote in Psalm 16, verse 11, I had Pastor Roger read this one earlier, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy. Where? In your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Do you know God wants you to have a joyful life? He wants you to experience pleasure and goodness. And it comes in his presence. It comes through a relationship with him. In another psalm, David wrote in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So you have this amazing picture. You can just, you know, picture a deer that's maybe been running or hasn't had anything to drink for a while, panting, thirsty. This is a familiar picture to David. And David's saying, that's what my soul is like. My soul is thirsty for the presence of God. Saint Augustine wrote this, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So these people are looking at Jesus, these disciples are looking at Jesus going, Jesus, we want what you've got. How do we get that? How do we pray? Now, the interesting thing is, these guys, they're Jewish. They grew up going to synagogue. They've heard prayers and prayed prayers all of their lives. It's kind of like growing up in church, right? I mean, they knew prayers. They had them memorized. They saw people. They heard their rabbis praying all the time and their priests. They knew about prayer, and still they come to Jesus and they say, teach us to pray. Why? Because Jesus' prayers were different from any of the prayers they'd ever heard before. Jesus' prayers were not some religious formula. He wasn't just going through the motions. They weren't robotic. Jesus prayed with passion and purpose and faith. And they're looking at Jesus and they're saying, Lord, we want to be able to pray like that. So that's the context of our parable. And then Jesus goes, in verse 5, Jesus tells this parable about prayer. Okay, so here we are. Here's the parable. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Pretty interesting story Jesus tells here. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, that's the title of my message this morning, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, I want to give a little background here because kind of a confusing story. What is Jesus talking about? A little bit of cultural background here. It was very common for people who were traveling in those days to stay with friends. There weren't a lot of hotels. There might have been a few inns, but people would often stay with friends. And remember, there was no mass transit. There's no automated, you know, there's no cars. There's, you know, when you traveled by foot. Mostly, you might ride an animal a little bit, but mostly people walked everywhere. So even a journey like from here to Grants Pass, right, would be much more difficult and take more time because you're on foot. And then there's not as many motels, restaurants, and things like that. So it was pretty common. In fact, it was the cultural expectation that if someone knocked on your door, if you knew them at all, you had a responsibility to give them not only a place to stay, but provide food for them and take care of their animals too. And so you would do whatever. That was just the cultural expectation. Now, also add to that the fact that these would often be surprise visits because no cell phones, no internet. I mean, it'd be 2,000 years before even the telegram was invented, right? And so so people would just show up unannounced. And so it was very possible that you'd have like a room full of guests that you didn't know were coming. Now, add to that the fact that there's no 24-hour mini marts, right? There's no 7-Eleven. There's no store to go to. So if your cupboards are empty, you're kind of stuck. You can't just run down to the corner grocery and pick up some bread. And so you'd have to rely on your neighbors, which is what this guy has to do. So a friend shows up in the middle of the night, welcomes him in, goes and looks in the cupboard. There's no food, so he's got to go to his neighbor and ask for 3 loaves of bread. Now, I want to just stop right here and help us understand a little bit about this parable, because this parable can be confusing. You need to remember this about this parable. You need to know this about this parable. This parable is not a story about who God is. It's a story about how to pray. Keep that in mind. This parable is not about who God is. It's about prayer. It's about how we should pray. This is important for you to understand. Because if you're reading into this about this neighbor and you're thinking Jesus is saying this is what God is like, you're going to be very confused about what God is like. This is not a parable about who God is. It's a parable about prayer. For example, God doesn't live in a house. And if God did live in a house, he wouldn't need to lock the door. And you don't have to wake God up because God never sleeps. And God never says things like, don't bother me or I can't give you anything. So this is not a story about who God is. It is a story about the kind of tenacious prayers we need to pray, that we need to pray prayers of shameless audacity. So we're going to back up to that verse. Because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Shameless audacity. Bump your neighbor and say, shameless audacity. Yeah, Jesus is challenging us here to pray with faith, pray with a holy boldness, to ask God for the impossible. So there's basically three things Jesus is saying about shameless audacity. First of all, there's no time that you cannot talk to God. 24/7, God is there. Amen? There's no particular religious formula you must use when you pray. Aren't you thankful for that? You don't have to be a theologian to pray good prayers, because God is not listening to our vocabulary. He's listening to our heart. Amen? I've had people say, I just don't know how to pray. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you just don't know you know how to pray. You just pray from your heart. You talk to God like you talk to a friend. And then thirdly, there's nothing too big to ask God to do. Nothing too big for God. There's nothing too big for God. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about being demanding or being disrespectful in prayer. I'm just talking about being expectant in your prayers, believing in prayer. Listen, church, I don't believe in superstition. Not a superstitious person. When I put my half and half in my coffee in the morning, I don't look for the face of Jesus to show up. Not a superstitious person, but I'll tell you this. I do believe in the power of prayer. I believe prayer makes a difference. First of all, prayer makes a difference in me, because whenever you spend time in the presence of God, listening to God, spending time in His Word, experiencing His Holy Spirit, whenever you spend time in the presence of God, it's going to change you. But I also believe that time in prayer not only changes me, I believe prayer changes the world. It changes the things we're praying about. So prayer changes me, but prayer also changes the world. And Jesus is saying here, look, when you pray, don't give up quickly. Pray audacious prayers. Shamelessly audacious prayers. Believe. Pray big prayers. Expect great things, because we serve a great God. Pray big prayers. Don't pray little prayers. Listen, guys, little prayers, they're offensive to God. They're saying, God, I think you can handle this much, but I don't think you can handle it. That's offensive to God. How many of you know there's nothing that's impossible for God? Amen? Amen. Pray God-worthy prayers. Ask God for what seems to be impossible to you. We serve a big God. We serve an awesome God. We serve a great God. And then Jesus goes from this parable into this, verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I love how Jesus, there's no maybes or mights here, right? This is confident, bold praying. One of the reasons sometimes we lack confidence in our prayer is because of legalism. Legalism. Legalism, unfortunately, has been a problem in the church since the beginning of the church. And it's got a lot of different forms, but basically, legalism is saying to us that God doesn't really love us. He doesn't really care about us just the way we are. We need to do something. And we need to improve ourselves, and we need to be better people. And then, just maybe, we'll be good enough for God to love us and for God to listen to our prayers. When legalism gets into our hearts, it has two opposite but just as devastating effects on our prayer lives. Either we become self-righteous and we think, man, I've arrived. God's got to listen to me. Man, I'm so good. I'm so spiritual. Of course, I'm God's favorite, man. Of course, God's got to answer my prayers. Let me clue you in. You never want to talk that way to God, okay? The other opposite effect of legalism on our prayers, but just as devastating, is we feel so unworthy that we can't ask God. We don't have any right to ask God. God doesn't really love us, really care about us. I haven't been a good person. I haven't measured up in some way, and so I really don't have the right to pray. Let me share a scripture with you. It's not in the notes, that really brings a balance in terms of our prayer life. This is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It's talking about prayer here. Let us then approach God's throne of grace. God's throne of what? Grace. With confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Man, I just love this. We're approaching the throne of grace, but we're doing it with what? With confidence, with boldness. Our confidence isn't in ourselves. Our confidence is in Jesus Christ. Our confidence is in His love and in His grace. But because we're confident in God's love and His grace, we're confident in the blood of Jesus, then we can come now into the presence of God with a holy boldness and confidence. Amen? Because now I'm not asking based on my merit. I'm asking based on what Jesus has done when He died on a cross and He rose from the dead. Amen? Then we can pray. We can pray bold prayers and big prayers because it's not based on how good we are. It's based on the goodness of God. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus is teaching us to pray with shameless audacity. Shameless audacity. Big prayers, bold prayers, praying anytime because God is always there. Now, the interesting thing about prayer is that prayer, on the one hand, is pretty simple. It's not complicated. Prayer is talking to God like we've talked to a friend. So on the one hand, prayer is not a complicated, convoluted thing. On the other hand, prayer is really challenging. Would you agree with me that prayer can be challenging? So it's kind of interesting. Prayer is really simple, but it's also really challenging. Now, why is that? How can prayer be so simple, but at the same time so difficult? I'll tell you why. It's called spiritual warfare. You've got an enemy of your soul that does not want you to pray, that doesn't want you to connect to God, doesn't want you to spend time in His presence. And so prayer is really simple, but it gets really difficult. Why? Well, we get distracted by a lot of things. Life is busy, right, folks? Life is busy. We get so busy. And I just got to say this. I know I don't want to step on any toes this morning, but I probably will. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Amen. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. And then the other thing that we struggle with, the other difficulty in prayer is when we finally do sit down and take time to pray, our minds wander. Anybody else beside me? Right? You sit down, like, I'm going to spend time with Jesus, I'm going to spend time in the Word today, and then the next thing you know, you're thinking about everything you need to get done today, you're thinking about a conversation you had yesterday, and it's spiritual warfare, guys. But listen, think of it this way. Return on investment. I'm telling you, there is no greater return in your life than the return from investing time in the presence of God. Right? I mean, we can invest our lives in a lot of things, and there's a lot of good things we invest our lives in, but there is no greater payback, there is no greater return than taking time to invest in the presence of God. Because the peace that's so often lacking in our lives, it's because we haven't taken time to be with God. The burdens that are weighing us down, It's because we haven't taken those burdens to God in prayer. The confusion that we experience is because we haven't asked God for wisdom. There is no greater return than the investment you make in spending time with God. So every day, there's a battle going on for our attention. Are we going to give our attention to Jesus? Are we going to give our attention to everything else in this world? Every day that battle's taking place in your life. Every day you're going to make a choice about who or what you're going to follow. Are you going to follow Jesus or follow the things of this world? Every day we choose about where we're going to turn to for answers and for wisdom. Are we going to look to Twitter or are we going to look to Jesus? And every day we're making choices about how we're going to handle the burdens of life. Am I going to handle the burdens of life by letting them get me down and oppress me and just, you know, another, you know, shot of Jack Daniels and maybe I can get through? Are we going to take those burdens to Jesus? Amen? Take our needs to Him. Every day, these are the questions that we're going to face, the choices that we make. Will we choose God and spending time with Him, or will we choose something else? Now, the cool thing is, the Bible tells us there's nothing in the universe, nothing, that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I mean, do you love that? I sure do. Man, nothing can separate us. So, here's the deal. If there's some distance between me and God, it's not because God put that distance there. It's because I've neglected to invest in my relationship with Him. And so a Christian that doesn't spend time with God, it's kind of like a person who gets married and then they don't talk to their spouse anymore. Right? It's like, okay, I suppose legally you're still married, right? Because your name's on the paper. But come on, let's be real. The relationship is not what it needs to be. And so, yeah, God loves us. Thank God we're saved. But I don't know about you, but I want to have the kind of relationship with God that's more than just my name on a paper. Right? I want to be close to Him. That's what my heart longs for. And so we have to make decisions every day. Am I going to keep knocking, seeking, and asking? Am I going to have a shameless audacity to go after God? Go after God. Or am I going to give up and be easily put off? And so this morning, I'm going to close with this challenge. I'm going to challenge each and every one of us. And this is one of those sermons I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to myself. Let's make a decision together to invest in our relationship with Jesus. Amen? Amen. To invest in Him, time with Him. And coming to church is great. It's awesome. Going to Bible study, great. Christian radio, Christian TV, it's all good. Christian books. But I'll say this, nothing replaces time in the presence of Jesus. Nothing. So let's have shameless audacity in our prayers and go after Jesus and not give up. Amen? Not give up, not quit. Keep going after Him. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to just like practice some immediate obedience, and we're going to spend some time praying this morning. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And while they're coming up, I'm going to put this passage, a scripture from James on the screen, because we're going to practice this right now. It's about prayer. James chapter 5 says this: is anyone among you in trouble? Anybody here in trouble today? Okay. Is anyone in trouble? What do? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. As we're singing this next song, I want to invite you to come to the altar and pray this morning. And we're going to open up this side of the altar for those of you who just want to come and talk to God about something. Maybe it's something from the message today. Maybe it's just something God's been talking to you about. And you just want to come and spend some time with the Lord. This side of the altar is for you. If you're sick in body or in trouble and want someone to pray with you this morning, we're going to have people right over on this side that will be happy to pray with you in agreement prayer today. All right? So let's just respond to the word of the Lord today. Let's press into God and let's get into the presence of God, not only today, but every day. Let's get into his presence. Amen. So come on up and pray as we're singing this song.